Rise and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Hope everyone had a nice weekend.
You too.
Dr. Ron Clark, MD, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the hospital's Central Connecticut, New Britain campus, on the show now to kind of give us a vibe here. How's it going?
It's going okay. It's, you know, the cases still are coming in. We're starting to see a start to the decline in the hospitalization cases, the people who are coming to the hospital who are diagnosed with COVID. So I think we're kind of right at the peak and starting to come down now. It's still been tough, though, guys.
It's been incredibly
tough.
What's the average number of patients you see in the ER on a typical week? And then what is it at the peak, or was it at the peak, and what are you seeing now?
So the average number of total patients in the ER in a given day is usually around 300 at my hospital, at Hospital Central Connecticut. Right now, we're less than half of that. So our volume has gone way down. And again, there's a lot of other parts to the healthcare system that get affected by this COVID as well, because all the elective surgery is canceled. Different other programs that the hospital usually have are canceled. So it's really affecting the whole way that the hospital works, you know, revenue and everything else as well.
So the ER has less people coming in, but the staff is overworked because of the COVID ward.
The staff is overworked because of the amount of work that's required for each COVID patient. I generally, in a shift on a regular day before all this started, I would be at maybe, 22 to 24 patients in a nine-hour shift. Right now, I see less than half of that, so right around like 10 or 12. I feel like I see 50 because of the amount of work that's required for each one of the patients that have the COVID.
And that's just the gowning up and then changing your stuff and
exactly
cleaning and wiping and
it's involved.
Do you have exactly. How are you guys with the PPE?
So far we have enough of the equipment. Believe it or not, the thing that we're lacking is cleaning supplies. That's really our big thing, that the the cleaning supplies that we use to clean our facial shields and other equipment that we have is that's dwindling. There's very little. Like, I'll have to sometimes walk around the ER to find anyone who has something that I can.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Again, in the old days, that was just, there was tons of cleaning supplies on.
Didn't even think about it.
Yeah, it was funny. Didn't even think about it. It's just there. But
how are you guys on toilet paper?
Toilet paper, we're okay.
All right, good.
You got that going for you.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have the PPE, just not the cleaning solution. How's the staff holding up?
We're all holding up pretty well. I think it's been tough. I think it's taken a toll on healthcare families as well. The staff, families are in this as well. And the one problem for me is it's like Groundhog Day. Every day is the same, and it keeps happening over and over and over again. And I'm just hoping there's going to be one day where, soon, where, I can go to the hospital and don't have to have a mask on and don't have to put on all this equipment for all these patients. But, that day's not here yet, but it'll be here soon.
Are you upset when you go, after all that you go through every day, you go out and you see people just walking around like they just don't care? Does that bother you?
A little bit, in the sense that they're putting everybody at risk when you congregate in public places in large groups that could spread this. Again, the social distancing is the way to get this to go away. And without being smart about it, making smart choices, this will take longer to go away. So I think it's very important to socially distance.
That's a nice answer, but have you ever been outraged?
Just like, what, hit with the car?
Tell the truth.
I know you're being a polite doctor, but after all you go through and just being afraid of giving it to your family and taking all these precautions, you ever go out and you just look around and you say, what is going on? Do they know what's happening in the world right now?
Someone needs a smack.
Yeah, I think some people are generally clueless, about, how their actions affect others. But yes, sometimes I get angry as well.
Good, very good. See, it's normal. It's okay.
Yeah. I think Phil had some trouble on a walking path this weekend.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so Amanda and I are trying to get out for these walks. It's the only opportunity we really feel like we can leave the house. So we go out with our face masks, and it's just the two of us. We try to avoid other people. We're coming back towards the car, and there's a congregation. It's got to be nine people. It's clear they didn't all come together. They're all hugging each other. They're all saying hello. It's like the first time they've all seen each other in a long time. It's six adults. There's three children. No one's wearing masks. They're spread out all over the path. Everybody's going around them. They're either completely oblivious or just completely ignorant to what's going on.
This is how it gets spread, right? Yeah. This is the problem.
Idiots.
The problem, exactly.
And we're not out of this. When do you think we will be? Is you guys talking about a particular date? We'd like to be able to write that down. What's that date?
There's no definite date, Chaz, but I'm hopeful that probably, a month and a half to 2 months from now, we're out of it. We're not out of it yet. We're in Connecticut, we're just at the peak, and again, the cases that come into the hospital of COVID positive patients just started to decline. So we still have the other side of that peak to go down. We don't know if there's going to be a reactivation later on as well.
That's it. I mean, if you look at Italy and all these other countries, they had exactly what's happening now. Oh, an end in sight.
Yay!
Good.
Let's celebrate.
Good. It worked.
Yeah.
And then let's go out.
Party!
And then you see the peak. You see the line go right back up.
Yep. Zoop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Exactly.
And when you see the federal government saying, let's open things up and let's get back to it, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I understand where they're coming from, but again, I think in certain places that may be okay, Chaz, where there's low cases and, in the middle of nowhere somewhere. But in Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, highly populated areas, if you open up too soon, you're going to be we'll be right back to the beginning again. Like, you'll just lose your turn and go back to the end of the line and start again.
So, and then all of what we did was for nothing.
For naught.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For naught. Exactly.
For naught.
So that's where, we have to make smart choices about what we do. And again, there's an economy and people have to go to work and go out of the house and stuff. But it needs to be done, appropriately, in a smart way, prudently. And we're not there yet, at least not in Connecticut.
I think the parents are going bananas, but they understand why. I think the people who are financially struggling are thinking, I'll take the risk.
Exactly.
My life's going to be a disaster one way or another. I'll take the risk.
Right.
Right. Some people are thinking that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Do you see any vaccines or any of this stuff? Let me start with this. The quick test in New Haven, that's going to help you guys?
Yes, it's going to help us a lot as soon as that becomes live, because that's a very rapid test. So you can just determine within a few minutes whether or not somebody is positive or not. Our hospital system is also doing antibody testing for staff members and stuff. So if I wanted to get my antibodies checked to see if I've had it before or if I've been exposed.
That's cool. Have you done it?
I have not done it yet. I just recently got offered it, so
I'd be curious, right?
Yeah, just to see if it's positive or not. I don't think I would be, but again, some people have it and don't know it. But I haven't been sick, so I don't.
But if you have it and didn't know it, then you're good, right?
If you hadn't didn't know it and you have antibodies, then you're able to fight it if you come in contact with it again.
Wow.
Okay, because I've heard in countries people have had it twice. So there was a bus driver who got it, did the 2 week thing, recovered, went back to work, got it again.
Yeah.
So that then he didn't make enough antibodies to confer immunity to him. And again, people don't. This is why this virus is evolving so much, is that people don't. We don't know yet what the ultimate outcome is going to be. If you have it, can you get it again? You're saying the bus driver got it twice. Was that the same strain? Was it a different strain? I mean, but hopefully it confers immunity for next year when the season comes around again, that a lot of people are already immune, so therefore it's not likely to spread it as much to other people. Because it was a novel virus, nobody had immunity to it, which is why it spread like wildfire like it did, because no one was immune in the past.
The vaccines that they're working on, are you hearing anything? That Malaysia drug with the mix of the antibiotics, is that working?
That's one of the things that we're using. And then as far as the vaccine's, you know, still probably at earliest eight months out.
Which is fast.
No, that's very fast. I mean, they'll fast track it. There's multiple companies that are incentivized by the government.
They've already injected a human, which I've never seen anything so fast.
Wow. Well,
not that I pay attention to that.
Yeah, and they'll have to just see if there's any adverse outcomes. And, you know, then, of course, you have to manufacture the vaccine. And, you know, they use chicken eggs and different ways to do that. Huh. And then, but hopefully, the late fall, maybe there might be a vaccine. That would be the very earliest, but probably sometime next year.
Yeah, I have a feeling if it normally takes a year, it'll be 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
And fast track it.
Yeah, and again, the federal government has given a lot of those companies just vast financial resources to try to get it done. So they have every incentive, besides to help people to get the vaccine to come to market and have everyone get vaccinated. They're talking about, just basically making it that the government would just pay for it so everybody in the country would get it for free.
Nice.
So your advice as an ER chief would be just keep doing what you're doing. If you're doing the right thing, if you're that knucklehead, people hugging each other at a park, don't do that. Stop doing that.
We're going to stick with the social distancing. We're going to stick with washing our hands and staying away from public places. We're going to stick with having the worried well not come to the ER and just have the sick people come to the ER that really need to be there so that other people are not exposed in the healthcare system. But right now we're doing all we can, and I think most people, Chaz, are doing the right thing. And again, it's tough for everybody, and we're still in this, and hopefully, we keep having a downward trend to the amount of cases in Connecticut. Right now, I think there's a little under 18,000 cases total, and I think there's a little over 1,100 deaths right now. So, that's a lot. Remember, when I started talking to you guys about this, we were at zero cases. New York had the cases. Rhode Island, Massachusetts, we had none. And now we're at almost 18,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those numbers are going to go way up with that fast test in New Haven.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like 750 tests a day. We're going to have some positives.
Yep.
Exactly. There's going to be some that are going to be positive in there. Yep.
We have Dr. Ron Clark on. When you get home, what do you do? Do you have to, strip in the garage? Is this, some kind of CDC procedure?
Yeah, so I wear scrubs at work, and then I change my clothes in the doctor's area, into different clothes. Then when I come home, I usually come home, I'll take my clothes off, and those will be kind of in the laundry room, which is right at the beginning of my house where the garage is, and I'll just wash. Most of the time, I'll take a shower too. Right now, I'm still home by myself. My family's actually coming home later on today.
Oh, wow!
They've been gone for a month.
Wow!
Wow!
So, do
the dishes. The other part we don't think about, the healthcare workers. They've separated themselves from their families.
And it's a pile of dishes in the sink right now.
Oh, thank you for what you're doing. Yes, there's laundry to do.
Ah, crap!
Exactly. That'd be case. My house has been quiet for the last month. But
put the socks in the fridge. Fridge. Oh, that was me.
Is that a meatloaf under the chair?
Well, thank you for what you do, brother. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
All right, Dr. Ron Clark. Stay safe, man.
Please.
All right. Thanks. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Just want a quick mention here. That officer, police corporal, Oxford police corporal, Dennis D'Arcangelo, died Friday after a long battle with cancer. Jennifer and I attended a benefit for him at Roses last year, and it seemed like he was, bouncing back and great guy. And
aww.
Met him and his wife and, all the cops and people of the community. Tom Haynes was there. It's just a great event, and I thought he was, doing great. Then he took a turn and he died Friday. And someone called in and told me Friday morning. And I thought, well, I don't want to say anything. I want to make sure everybody knows the proper way first. But Oxford Police Corporal Dennis D'Arcangelo died Friday. So
sorry.
Thoughts and prayers to the family.
Yes. Absolutely.
This weekend, yesterday specifically, was a beautiful day. And we all went to the parks.
Yes.
And I guess we didn't do the right thing. A bunch of parks got closed down.
Whoops.
Deep Commissioner Katie Dykes on. How did we do?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
So we did have some gorgeous weather, and I was out myself, took my family out for a hike at Heard State Park.
How many people in your family?
There are fewer than five.
Okay. Well, you're all six feet apart.
Right. Survive this.
So if you live in the house together, you don't have to be 6 feet apart, right?
That's right.
Okay,
gotcha. So, and if your family, if you're coming groups of five or less, that's what we're going to be looking for. But yeah, we did see a lot of park closures yesterday. One of the reasons that happens, of course, is that we're closing parks at lower capacity levels, right? So we've reduced the amount of parking, the parking capacity kind of threshold when we normally close a park. So in some ways it's a good thing, because we're closing parks when we get to lower levels, because those are the levels when we know that it's adequate to, you know, we can maintain social distancing at those numbers.
So when you're closing, you don't go in and say, all right, everyone's got to go. What you do is no one else can come in.
That's right. And okay. We're closing at lower levels. So these aren't park closures that you might see, you know, in a normal time when we've got, completely full parking lots. We're closing at lower levels. But it does show us that, you know, people are valuing the parks. They're coming out. This is important to folks. And when the weather is nice, that's when we see the numbers come up. And this won't be the last nice day.
Yeah.
It's 62 degrees that we're going to see in a while. So, right. So we're going over the numbers. We're taking a look at how yesterday went. And as we said all along, we're going to take steps if we need to, if there's any particular parks where we're seeing a lot of challenges. But we're just continuing to get that message out to folks. You know, think about a place that, you know, is not as popular or that you might not have been
before. It's tough.
Was there any park yesterday
that wasn't busy?
Well, I was at Heard, and we saw, you know, that's a great one over in East Hampton. It's a lot of room to spread out. You know, there were, I encountered probably two other hikers when I was out. You know, one other thing that's kind of timely to share with folks, too, is about cloth masks. So the CDC recommends that people wear masks in public to help prevent the spread. And, of course, Governor Lamont has ordered that beginning today, residents should wear face coverings in public places where social distancing may not be possible. So what I do, even when going out to the park, is to bring a cloth mask with me, you know, because you never know if you might encounter a situation where you'll be near other people, like when you're parking or something.
So when you're looking at, and you're evaluating, do we close it down now or not? Mm-hmm. It's number of people and are they doing the right things?
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Behavior.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're monitoring that. Forget about us.
We're checking every day. We're taking a look and seeing. And on the, you know, for the most part, people are doing a really good job. But
really?
Just when it gets, if the numbers do get high or at certain smaller parks or the ones that are really popular and get a lot of use, that's where we might be running into
the challenge. East Rock is always going to be bananas, right?
But here's what folks need to do. Look at CT State Parks. That's our Twitter account. You don't even need a Twitter account to check it. And all the real-time information around when we're making a closure.
Yeah, so before you go, check it.
Is there.
And this is something you told us
already. If you check it, you'll see the ones that frequently close.
You're going to have to tell us 100 more times, then it'll start sinking in by like winter.
Eventually, yes.
That's okay. People are getting it.
I'm going to run a scenario by you, and I want to know how you would handle this or make a suggestion as to how we handle it. Mm-hmm. Walking in the park, you got your face mask on, you're with another person. Mm-hmm. Right, you're walking down the path of them where people park their cars. There's like nine people who just all got out of different cars, hadn't seen each other in a while. Now they're all hugging and blocking the path. Do you say something or you just kind of walk around them?
Taser.
You know, I know these are issues that folks are running into in a lot of situations, right? I mean, I think that, you know, if it's a real concern, you can speak up and remind them in a polite way. You know, our park staff and our environmental conservation officers are out there educating people.
So it sounds like you're leaning towards just walk by them. They're knuckleheads. Right?
Exactly.
It's easier to just keep walking
than have a fight, yes.
You know, yeah. I'm just saying that's when we see groups like that, we're intervening and we're educating people.
Right.
That's what I'll say.
All right. Well, you're doing a great job.
People can do, Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
People are doing a good job.
We want to thank all the folks with Deep. Not easy, you know, because all you want is people to enjoy the parks, and now they're finally doing it, and you're like, oh, I got to tell them to not do it.
Separate. Right. Separate. 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 What does that mean?
All right, we got enough people.
Away.
Get out of here.
Right.
You folks do a nice job at the park. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to continue to get the message out.
Oh, always. Commissioner Katie Dykes, Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have someone on the phone here who says we dispersed not completely accurate information earlier.
Ah.
It's Dr. Rock Ferrigno. He is Associate Chief Medical Officer and Chair of Emergency Medicine at Bridgeport Hospital. Now, I don't know what you think, AJ, but Rock Ferrigno is one hell of a name.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so cool.
Exactly. Don't mess with him.
I wish I was that cool.
More like a W, you know.
It's Doc Rock.
Like an, right. Like, yeah. That's true. He is
it's Doc Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Dr. Ferrigno. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gang. Really appreciate it. Always love your show.
Thank you.
Nice introduction, by the way.
Love your name.
It's cool.
So Dr. Ron Clark was on earlier, and you heard some things that you thought,
Yeah, listen. Ron's a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
And offered a perfect description of what's going on. So, you know, thank you to him for doing that. It was a simple one line that he said that struck me. It was that the CVS test, which is a really neat test, the CVS test will be able to tell you whether you have the disease or you don't. And I just wanted to clarify for, you know, the listeners on the line, and we do a lot of work with testing, you know, at the Yano Haven Health System and Yale Medicine. The test is fantastic if it's positive. Likely you have the illness if it's positive. But the test, if it comes back negative, you may still have the illness. Like maybe 40% chance of still having the illness.
40?
Wow.
30 to 40% chance. Ugh. What's the point? Well, it's a fantastic test to tell you that you have the illness. But because of the way the sample's collected, and because of just the performance of all these tests, any of the tests for COVID are very good if they tell you if you have it. They're not real good if they're negative. So, and the Abbott one does suffer from having false negative rates that are higher.
Because it's not going all the way up to your brain?
It is not going all the way up to your brain. That's one of the things. It's a nasal swab rather than a nasal pharyngeal swab. So that's
Pharyngeal. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
So what do we do with that? We're potentially sending people back out and saying, you're fine.
It's fine. You're good. Good.
You know, it's a great test. If we should know whether we have it. And there's a lot of people that don't have symptoms that have it.
Right.
And that will help us keep away from each other. It'll help us keep off the hiking trails like you're talking about.
Right. So let's talk about this. If you had it, right?
Yep.
It came and went, you didn't know, and you got this test. Would it test you as positive or negative?
That's a really good question. So what we have seen is it depends. Some people keep a lot of that RNA virus in their nasal passages and in their oropharynx, in their nasopharynx for weeks after the illness. Other people clear quickly. And other people have the illness, and it doesn't even end up in the nose. So it's this real funky, it's a funky disease.
Oh, man. Well, I give you all a lot of credit for handling something that's never been seen before and doing a great job.
Yes.
Really.
Unpredictable.
We're the ones screwing it up.
Exactly.
And you still want to take care of us. So I don't know. How do you do
that? We're here for y'all.
Right.
We're here for y'all.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Right, you too.
Thank you.
I like him.
He's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Rock. And then Ferrigno. That's a great name.
Yep. Hey, yo, how you doing?
Associate Chief Medical Officer and Chair of Emergency Medicine at Bridgeport Hospital. Happy 420.
Happy 420.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. I have not smoked in a long time.
Oh.
I used to.
Right.
A lot.
I
went through that phase.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think young Chaz was probably a year and a half. And I went out into the garage and, you know, smoked like a half a joint.
Right.
And I came in and the Lion King was on. And we sat down. Lion King.
Yeah.
And he walks over to me, and he's staring into my eyes.
Oh, no. Paranoia.
And I could tell he doesn't know what it is, but right. He knows something's different.
He's looking into my brain. He's trying to trip it out.
You're freaking me out, man. Dude, freaking me out.
Looking at my soul.
Yeah, that's when I knew right then. I'm like, yep, I got to stop.
Right.
It's over.
Well, he's holding out. Go back.
Yeah. I've had a couple of times where, okay. I'll take a drag.
Yeah, exactly. You know, father and son bonding, they call it bonding. Bonding over a pizza. Yep.
Well, I learned quickly not to, first of all, it's come a long way.
Okay. Yes, it has.
Wow.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
And I learned not to brag to college kids about how good my weed was back in the day.
Yeah. Because then they show you their weed.
Like, have you ever tried medical marijuana?
Super plutonium weed, man.
Super plutonium.
It really is.
Boom.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I didn't think something you could stick in the ground, right? It's like, how good can you make a tomato?
Exactly.
You know, it's been a million years, right? And it's still a tomato.
Super plutonium tomato.
Get on that, farmers.
Yeah. Right. Really?
Yeah.
This is, wow.
Yeah, but a grabbed by the boo-boo won't let go, that's for sure.
I remember being standing there, and I took one hit, and then it's going around. It's probably five or six of us. It's young Chaz and his college friends. And it's coming around.
You can see it,
before,
you can hear
it. And before it gets around to me the second time, I'm like, wow. I probably shouldn't do another one. I feel like I am good for a couple
all
days.
Set.
When your forehead is numb, that's always a good sign.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, I came from my forehead, man.
Oh, so I'm like,
there's one right there, right?
I can't bag out on one because then,
right?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be problems. So they're going to make fun of me.
Just don't inhale. Don't inhale.
Well, come back around. I take another one.
Right.
And it's probably two people away from me now. And I'm like, holy crap.
Right. I'm going to fall right in my face.
Have we been standing this whole time?
I just remembered I have Totino's in the freezer.
How long have I been here?
I've got pizza rolls in the freezer.
I can feel gravity for the first time in my life.
And I'll have a sandwich while I'm waiting for my Totino's.
I started getting paranoid immediately. And I thought, wow, one of these guys can take a picture of me smoking weed them, and like it ends up on News 8 or Channel 3.
At a rock station, like, you'd be good.
Right.
This
is how my brain started thinking. Yeah. I'm like, this is way out of my comfort zone right now. I'm breaking the law with the youth of America.
I can hear the pattern in the carpet.
Yeah.
You mean you didn't see that on TikTok later?
Right.
I watched it 30 times.
It was awesome.
I run downstairs and close myself off in the bedroom. As I'm leaving, young Chad's like, you're not going to play pool?
No.
I'll be back. I started coming up with an excuse. I'm like, I'll be back.
I need a shower.
Down the hall.
I got to take a shower.
Ice cream sandwiches.
Like,
what? I don't know. He just yelled ice cream sandwiches and then slammed the door to his bedroom.
And then he ran next door. There is no next door. In that case, he just fell in the swamp.
I just hid. I was paranoid. Then about a half an hour later, I'm like, is there still pizza out there?
Yep, let me go forage for food.
I don't know. You just smoked with four young people. That means no.
Yeah.
Dude, is that your dad, your neighbor's trash can right now? Like a raccoon.
Who throws away bugles?
Right. Oh, man, half a meatloaf. Awesome.
Oh, my God. And the only other time was... it's me, John Gee, and I don't know if he wants to be outed, but Bill.
Well, we know his last name, so okay.
And,
a lot of Bills out there.
Oh, my God. And I won't say who, but one of them had, you know, it was like that level.
Super plutonium weed.
And same thing, couple hits.
Right.
This is back when I lived out in the, this wasn't the project house, but it was another place with a lot of land.
Yep.
And I had a Jeep to snow plow, but it didn't have the plow on it.
I know where you're going.
So we all get in it, and we're like, let's go out. and knock some trees down.
Nice. Oh, boy. Good idea.
It was a friggin' riot. Yeah. We were just, all you could hear is the Jeep hitting trees and three guys laughing their asses off.
Right. Do you remember that Jeep did not work as a plow? I know why now.
Yeah, really?
So Ashley flashed Eric while Eric was on a Zoom conference with 15 other coworkers, including the owner of the company.
Yeah.
She didn't know he was on a Zoom conference. She thought he was just on the phone.
Yeah, but can a boob tube.
Yes. Yep. She told the whole story in the last break.
Right.
And then you just got a text for from your mommy.
Mama G. She goes,
Mama G.
What a nice story.
What a nice story.
And you know she didn't mean that.
Nice in quotes.
Yeah.
I'm sensing sarcasm, Mama.
Yeah.
But we know that you take after Papa G because he's the one that likes to walk around without clothes on.
That's right.
It's true. Oh, my God. Stop.
It's true.
It's true.
Have you guys been watching movies? Okay. I've been on. What movies do you think I'm talking about? We're shifting from her naked.
This is true. Right.
No.
Right.
I've been on a Clint Eastwood kick.
Oh, really? Oh. Which ones? Like Dirty Harry?
I saw Gran Torino, but I wanted Jennifer to see it, so
okay.
We saw that.
Right.
We both watched Trouble with the Curve for the first time this weekend.
Okay.
It's all right.
We liked it, you know, compared to what else is out there.
Yeah. Will you ever watch it again?
No.
It's a one-time through deal.
It's a one-time.
Yeah, it's fine.
But I'm like that with most movies. Typically, Ghostbusters was the movie I've seen the most.
Yeah.
Because I had no cable, and I had that on VHS.
And you watched it over and over again.
That was
it. Exactly.
When you came over to my house, like Ghostbusters.
Like my friend's house, Weird Science, yeah.
But Gran Torino even has like a rewatchability that's fine.
Totally.
Yeah, it's good.
Totally.
Yeah, Trouble with the Curve, it's like, one time through, never again.
The Unforgiven.
Oh, that's classic.
See, I'm not a big fan of the Western, so I'm watching this stuff.
This one's great.
Yeah. Classic.
It's really great.
Yeah.
Like when he
fights.
And The Mule.
Okay.
And I just can't believe this guy's so old.
Right.
Making these movies, he's sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the movie industry has ever seen someone with such longevity who could do it all, act, produce, direct.
Yep.
Pretty incredible.
That was The Mule.
If you want to see
if
you want to see cinematic experience, Any Which Way But Loose, there you go. We have Clyde the orangutan.
Right turn, Clyde.
The Black Widow's motorcycle gloves after him.
I love that scene because he's kind of in The Unforgiven. He's kind of he used to be an assassin and now he's settled down and he's married and his wife died and he has a couple of kids. And then he gets this potential offer to go and kill again for the money and he's kind of struggling. So he decides
to do
it, but he's still fumbling. He can't really shoot, can't really get on a horse.
Right.
None of those skills.
Yeah.
Just came right back.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when they kill his buddy, Morgan Freeman.
Uh-oh. See, he touched Morgan Freeman.
He starts drinking again.
Yep.
And once he starts drinking again, he becomes,
attack, yeah.
Loose cannon.
Yeah.
Plus.
And there's this scene in the bar where they just killed Morgan Freeman and they put him outside the bar in a casket and said, this is what we do to assassins.
Right.
And they're all in the bar now, the sheriff and all the posse. And they're like, all right, you guys have your first two drinks are on me. And then don't spend too much of your money because we're going to track them all the way down to Texas. We're going to leave in the morning and blah, 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 blah. And then you could see everyone's like getting quiet as the sheriff's doing this pep talk. And there's Clint standing there with a gun.
He's right behind you.
And he's like, it's such a great scene.
Yeah.
And he says, who owns this place?
They'll point somebody else.
Freaking Clint holds a shotgun in a bar full of guys with guns.
Right.
Who owns this bar? And then no one wants to say. It's like, speak up.
Right.
It's like, I do.
I'm gonna.
Kills him.
Nice.
You just killed an unarmed man. Well, he should have been armed.
Oops.
He's going to decorate his place with my best friend.
Nice. See that?
Holy crap.
Damn. Plus, I mean, killing Morgan Freeman, now who's going to narrate the rest of the movie?
Right. Now we don't have any narrators in Hollywood.
Right. Ah, they're clear, so they walked into the bar.
What are we going to do now?
Ah! He ran up on his horse in the sunset. Ah! Not the same, is it?
Then
Clint,
we watched...
why are you squinting all the time?
Right.
Trying to read my cue cards.
Right.
I can't see right now.
I don't look good in glasses.
I think I have something in my eye.
Normally, this is where Morgan Freeman would talk.
And he talked really well.
Now I got to read my lines.
But you idiot shot him.
Ha, ha, ha.
That was a pretty stupid movie, Wiggins. Please wait till the movie's over before you shoot the narrator.
I'm surprised there's not memes from that with Morgan Freeman in a casket and a little sign. You just change the sign. This is what we do to voiceover announcers.
Right, exactly, right.
Who gets every part.
Right,
know?
Yep. Hi, this is Morgan Freeman.
Now what do we do?
Now what?
You idiot!
Son of a...
What the...
This sounds like the opening to a Monty Python movie.
That would be a friggin' blast.
Literally. And then the sheriff rode into town.
And then we watched Beautiful Girls. Now, Jennifer saw it, but she wanted me to see it. And, you know, we had Michael Rapaport in the studio. He's in that. Matt Dillon's in it.
Matt, Beautiful Girls. Oh. What is that?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, that's Beautiful Girls. That's Beautiful Girls.
Yeah, Beautiful Girls.
And Rosie.
Rosie O'Donnell. There's just a bunch of people. Who's that? Lauren Holly, who's married to Jim Carrey.
Okay.
It's a staff of, you know.
It's a who's who.
Yeah.
But no Morgan Freeman.
What's this? Timothy Hutton.
Gotcha.
It's like an 80s movie.
Oh, it's like Brat Packers.
Kind of.
Where are they now?
Yeah.
Here in one movie.
It's okay.
I don't know this movie at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1996.
Yeah. Beats me.
Yep.
It's a story of Van Halen or that, Beautiful Girls.
Right.
That's it.
No, that was a good movie. I mean, and what's her face? Who's in Star Wars? Natalie Portman's in it. She's 12 or 13 in the movie.
Right.
And then I watched 45 Years.
That's a long movie.
Don't watch it.
I'm not even an eighth of it done right now.
I tell you what, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It took 45 years off my life.
It starts in first gear and never shifts.
It killed Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. It's good if you're into acting and whatever, because these two actors are basically in the whole movie. It doesn't really change too much.
Morgan Freeman. This is way too long.
Here's Jennifer's quote when the movie ended and the ending credits came up. Silence, and then that's it.
And that's the end.
That's it.
Ugh. What's Jeopardy now?
Jazz and AJ News.
When will school return?
Hey, man, when's school start?
Education Commissioner Miguel Cardona is on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and we appreciate what you do.
My liege.
When will school open?
You know, we want it to open as soon as possible. We have so many students and teachers missing their students and just wanting to get back into the normalcy of it. But
are they missing the students and the parents or just the students?
You know what? Schools are communities. You know that. And,
Right.
So, you know, everyone is definitely missing the sense of community that schools provide. But the reality is, as you know, we're looking at the health data and we're making sure that guides the decisions. We don't want to be premature, but we also don't want to close the door to potential schooling or some form of coming back together.
It seems to me that we're not going to have school until at least September. And we all kind of know that, but you don't want to make that decision early and then find, it went away.
Psych.
You're right. Giving yourself that wiggle room, but I think everyone's walking around thinking, yeah, September's the earliest.
Yep.
I think you're right. I think we reserved, you know, when we made the announcement, the governor ultimately is taking input from myself and from the Department of Public Health. When we made that decision, it was really to say the data doesn't suggest that we're going to be coming back this year, but we're going to hold off on finalizing that in the event that there is a glimmer of hope for at the end for us to come together for certain events even. But it doesn't look too promising. And what we wanted to do also is provide opportunities for districts to start thinking about, if we're not coming back, what does that look like for communication to students who are expecting to graduate this year?
That's
and
a good one.
How do you prepare for that now before we have to make that announcement? And I think districts are doing that now.
Right.
So what's the answer to that?
So what's happening is, I spoke to students about 2 weeks ago via Zoom call. There were juniors and seniors of high schools around Connecticut, and they told me you know, we understand the safety piece, but man, this is so sudden for us. This is our senior year. We have so many things to look forward to. We just want to know, you know, among other things, what potential graduation could look like if we were to do this. So the following day, I asked superintendents to reach out to their high school principals, their class advisors, and reach out to students and see what they're saying, see what they're thinking with regard to graduation. It's a huge accomplishment, you know, 13 years of hard work. We want to do something. So those conversations are happening, and it could be that it's a delayed graduation. You know, I've heard from some superintendents that they talk to students and they're thinking, you know what, we'd rather have it in August if that's possible, or even further into the fall. Others are saying we're working with the students to try to engage in some form of virtual culmination.
There'd be a lot of squares on Zoom.
The way it would be.
It'd look like a feeds, zillion right? little dots.
Yeah. Yep.
yeah, live feeds or something. The right. bottom line is we want to acknowledge them and they deserve it. And we're giving our districts opportunities now to start engaging in those conversations that are really important for those
students. I feel for those kids. That's tough.
Yep.
Does your office or department cover sports? Not really.
The CIAC covers
right.
sports.
Okay, we had him on. Yeah. So no word on that yet, right?
Glenn's been working really hard and working closely with us. No word. I think they're meeting this week to communicate, you know, what the plans are with his board. But he also is taking information from the, you know, the health officials and making sure that, you know, safety is a priority for our athletes, our student athletes.
The return, if it does happen or when it does happen, it'll be phased in?
Well, I think, you know, it's safe to say that social distancing is not going to just go away from one day to the next.
Right.
And that our efforts to maintain some form of social distancing or at least limit large congregations is something that we need to plan. So we're going to be looking at what the best approach is to bring students back and staff back. But we're also cognizant of the fact that we're probably not going to be having huge assemblies right off the bat, like we might have had to kick off the school year. Or we're not going to be filling up our auditoriums. Or we might even look at cafeteria situations a little bit differently,
right.
where we typically have 200 students at one time
right.
sitting in one area.
Or just letting all the
so
classes out at once and having those halls jammed.
Excuse me?
Having the halls jammed when the classes all get out because you're going from one
right.
to another, so you have to kind of synchronize
right.
the classes
yep,
getting
exactly.
out.
Only the A's leave right now.
That's going to be tough. I thought when I saw a phase in, I thought, okay, kids with asthma and underlying medical conditions, you stay home.
Right. You know, it could eventually turn into something where we have a more of a phased in program or different measures for students with different underlying needs and staff. Also, it's important to
right.
recognize we have staff that may have underlying issues, health issues. So we are proud to share that this week we are formalizing a more of a regional advisory, educational advisory teams to provide input on what local folks are hearing at the different parts of the state. And I'm going to be a part of the governor's reopening group. I'm going to co-chair the education portion of it. So we
Good.
Are talking about reopening. We are talking about let's get back to some sense of normalcy, but with the expectation that we're going to do it in a way that's safe for everyone. But you know, education hasn't stopped. You know that teachers have been working double time now to really try to make sense of educating kids in a way that they've never done before. So. We're going to continue those efforts,
is
but we're also
it,
thinking about reopening.
Is it working?
I think it's working. Is it perfect? No.
Right.
You know, from one day to the next, teachers were literally in their classrooms teaching, and then now in their homes, trying to make sense of this.
Yeah. Right, so no one's like,
working.
"Hey, this is working so good. Why don't we just do it this way all the time?"
No. But I think moving forward, there's going to have to be some level of combination where we can think. You know, students are going to be able to access learning from home. It's working in a sense that teachers are connecting with students. Students are getting materials. I mean, I have two kids at home here, and they've been getting their work. They've been turning in assignments. They've been getting grades.
Oh, they have to. You're the education commissioner. Oh, God.
Yeah. I think they're getting extra work, you know?
What does your daddy do? You don't want to know.
Yeah, he's a male nurse.
you know, and I think the social emotional piece is important too. You know, we have school counselors now connecting with students over the over the conference lines and making sure that the kids are okay. I think that's critically important, too, that we don't forget that education is more than just reading and writing, right? We have students getting fed still.
Yeah,
right. Over 1,500,000 meals have been served. We have students getting their social-emotional support from their counselors still happening.
That's great.
So I consider that successful.
Now, is this costing the school districts more money or less money? Because now you have all this toilet paper, you know, that you're not using.
Well, the toilet paper is a whole different show, a different topic for a different show, I believe. But right. We're, you know, 80% of roughly 80% of a district budget is staff. It's employing
okay,
people.
Okay, so you're still paying
this
the
is a people business.
Yeah.
Right.
So you might be saving some things on supplies, cleaning things or whatever at the schools, but it's, you know, it's about the same.
Right, but yeah. You're doubling down on what you're paying for laptops now or subscriptions to online learning. You know, I want to make that point clear, like, you know, as we think about reopening America and we want to make sure that we're going back and we're supporting the small businesses, which is critically important to support our small businesses, let's not forget about our small people. You know, our students need more, not less. So I want to make sure that our districts are continuing to grow and flourish. We need more teachers now. We need more counselors now to support students who have had a huge interruption in their learning and in their emotional support. And we know when kids come back, they're going to be dealing with some traumas due to this pandemic that we need to address.
What do you mean? What kind of traumas?
Well, you know, I heard a story yesterday of a student that attends the same school my son attends, and he's on the same team as him. His grandmother passed away because of this. I know of students whose parents are ill with the pandemic, and they're going to be coming back. You know, sadly, the reality is some students are going to come back without a parent, or they're going to come back having been both of their parents lost their job.
Right.
Or a sibling can no longer go to college because the parents lost their job.
Right.
So these are things that we're going to be dealing with when the kids do come back.
What are parents asking you?
We've heard
besides when are we getting back?
Right. Take my kid, please.
Right.
Yeah.
We've heard a lot, and rightfully so, from parents.
What are like the top two questions they're asking that I haven't
education,
asked
like, you know, special education, what about my student with my child with autism? Like, how is his or her needs going to be met? And we're working on that. That's a challenge because some of that stuff can't get done through distance learning. So that's one of the things. And then, you know, sports and for the seniors, that's another question. Like, what about my kid's prom? What about their graduation?
That's a tough one because on the one hand, you're saying, well, people are dying, so let's dial down, you know, about you walking on the stage. But you think about it. You think about it your whole life.
Exactly.
And, it's tough.
Since kindergarten.
It's tough. It's very tough. You know, these kids have been waiting for this. You know, you think about it. You're 17. You're waiting for this your whole life. And it's been disrupted. So we want to make them – we want to do what's right for kids. We want to make sure we give them that opportunity to shine. We just want to do it safely. That's all.
Yeah. All right. So to answer the question, when will school open, you're going to decide within a couple of weeks, but your gut would tell you, and this could always change, that it won't be until September. That's your gut, right?
Yeah, my gut tells me that it's premature to come back this year.
Yeah.
But again, we haven't made that decision yet, but my gut tells me, and what I'm planning for is for a potential closure up until the summer, where we have summer school programming and, you know, some compensatory services that are being planned around the summertime. We have to make sure that the buildings are safe for students to enter them before and be together before we do that.
And what are you going to do with the anti-vaccine people?
So it's going to be a problem.
Well, these kids, right? Let's just say there's a vaccine and we just start vaccinating people.
Right.
And then there are parents who say, well, you're not going to vaccinate my kid.
Not my kid.
Right. Well, kind of like the argument before, you know, the Department of Public Health was communicating that this is a health decision. And I would imagine that there's going to be guidance on how schools and other large, you know, daycares and places where there are congregations of students, how they should handle that.
Right.
Again, at the end of the day, it really boils down to public safety. So recommendations from our Department of Public Health would be taken very seriously.
All right, so that's more from them than from you.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's good. You don't have to deal with that. You have enough to deal with.
It's a public health policy, but ultimately it does intersect with our school. So we have to be engaged in those conversations as well to make sure that we're not opening schools in a way that's unsafe for kids.
So you were an elementary school teacher?
I was. I was a fourth grade teacher.
Wow. That's a good grade, right?
Yeah. Great age. They still want to impress the teacher, you know?
Do you remember? Yeah, they still love the teacher.
Right.
They don't want to be a wise guy. They're just fun, right?
Well,
yeah.
You remember
and
getting
kickball,
a...
Well, you still could kick the farthest as a teacher.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, that's important. Superman!
That's important. That's important.
You ever get a question from a kid, and you're like, how does a four-year-old have a question like that? Fourth grader.
Yeah. Oh, I got plenty of them. See, back then I had, when I was teaching, wrestling was really big and Stone Cold Steve Austin was really huge. And I had a student that thought he was Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he'd bring in his guitar and start singing Elvis songs in a Stone Cold voice.
Right.
It was the best, you know? So he would ask me to sing it. I couldn't sing with him because I didn't have a great voice then or now. But they do the funniest things, you know?
Ah, they're the best. Most of them.
Right. There's always that kid.
Hey, well, we thank you and all of your folks for doing what they do every day. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate that very much. And I want to thank all the teachers that are getting up right now, getting ready to face a new week. I want to thank them openly and say, you know, we couldn't do this without you. Keep up the great work and keep smiling.
All right. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Education Commissioner Miguel Cardona.
Oh, boy, it's time for Dumbass News.
All right.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to Dumbass News at Chaz and AJ. Are we supposed to have a cop here on the phone?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 4:20, so I don't expect much from this crew.
Right. How you doing? Good?
Connecticut man breaks into closed restaurant, spends 4 days eating and drinking.
So who's the dumbass here?
Right. Is he a dumbass?
I don't think so. That's pretty crafty, actually. Food, beer, sangria, the whole nine yards. Unlimited buffet, make whatever you want. I feel like having some steak. There's a steak right there.
Four days.
Yeah, come on, man. Place to sleep, the whole nine yards.
All right, with the New Haven police, let's go to Captain Anthony Duff. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you for what you do. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So tell us about this guy. Breaks into a restaurant, spends 4 days in there eating and drinking.
Well, how much time do I have?
Well, you're an officer. As long as you want.
Well, let's see. This started a little over a week ago, back around Saturday, April 11th. So over the course of a few days, four to be exact, a New Haven guy goes into a downtown restaurant. And over the course of those days, pretty much helps himself to the food, the liquor, the beer, and other amenities.
So he's actually cooking the food.
Well, you know, don't want it to go bad, so you might eat it now.
Right.
He's actually saving them.
Providing
the
service.
Of throwing it away.
So unfortunately, during these times with businesses closed and offering restricted hours due to the pandemic, no one was checking on the restaurant, or no one checked on it during that weekend and the following day thereafter or so. So on Tuesday, an employee or manager goes to check on the establishment and finds the burglar asleep in a booth.
Nice.
And then the guy...
That sounds like a good time.
Like Goldilocks.
Yeah, and he actually had a few bottles around him at the table, and he said he was just keeping an eye on the place. But
right.
He got up and left when the manager said he was calling the police. So the officers arrive, and someone points to the guy down the street, and he's down there. He's actually still in possession of a bottle with one of those pouring spouts on it.
Right.
What are they called, a sifter or pourer?
Yeah,
right. Of course, one shot.
He's got the he's in possession of it. I think it was Castillo. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. Castillo rum.
Okay.
And you know he didn't deny having been there. And the manager found some video showing the guy coming in there or entering the restaurant through a side window. So I've had folks inquire about the value of some of the stuff that was listed in terms of the amount, you know, and it was reported about 70 bottles of liquor. Well, people are under the impression that the guy actually drank that much, but he didn't actually drink all 70 bottles because there's video of him removing liquor or beverages. He was actually using like a bucket, you know, like a 5-gallon bucket.
Right.
And he would just load some of the stuff up and just carry it out of the restaurant.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if he was giving it away, selling it, or stashing it.
Distribution, of course.
So there's that. In addition to the food and beverages, other property was taken from the establishment. So, you know, not to make fun or make light of the owner's plight here, but thousands of dollars, up to about $5,000 worth of other property was taken.
Wow.
So what's the total between the food, the booze, the property?
And some additional damage. You're looking at about $7,000 or $7,100 is the estimated loss there.
Wow, someone's washing dishes for a long time.
Yeah. He's probably going around his neighborhood giving people stuff like you, and everyone's like, he's such a nice guy.
He's such a nice guy.
Helping us out.
Right.
He doesn't even have a job, and he's helping us.
I can use a drink right now. Thank you.
Is this a Robin guy? Hood, huh?
Right, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Captain Duff, is this a guy who's been on the radar? Is this someone known to the New Haven Police Department? Or
well, he's a New Haven guy. I can't go into his entire background because some of it, if a person goes to court and they win a case or if it's adjudicated in their favor, it's as if legally it didn't happen. So, I will say he's a New Haven guy, and I did find evidence or from a report that he was actually in town that weekend and someone had seen him Friday night before he supposedly went into the restaurant or cafe.
The buffet, yes.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
See?
There are a lot of restaurants not being checked in on, right?
Yeah, so the policing district manager, the downtown lieutenant, Sean Marr, has been advising not just the downtown restaurant folks, but the public in general to check on your property and make sure if you have an alarm that is working properly, that if you have security video to make sure that's working properly, and just check routinely. So in this case, there were a few days where the business was not checked, and this gentleman took advantage of it.
Yeah, I would check every day if I were you.
And how have you been?
Say again?
How have you been?
Oh, I've been great. I've returned to work since, I've been back at work since January and just working very hard.
Good.
The city, can be busy at times. Fortunately, though, crime overall is down in the city of New Haven, and that is a plus. But at the same time, I feel bad for all the businesses and folks that have either lost wages or income. It is a tough time, but we will persevere.
Yeah, we'll get through it.
And guys like this guy keeps it interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. See?
Captain Anthony Duff, New Haven Police Department. Great to hear your voice. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. You know, you would think it'd be an easy thing to do, but it is 420 and it is right. A weed guy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What happened now?
They're trying to get Joe LaChance on the phone.
What did he forget?
I said, call in. He says, I'm calling.
Oh.
No answer. It's like, well, no, you're calling the wrong number. And then he texts, playing music. I'm like, I know I'm playing music. I am playing the music.
Need Doritos. The next text.
All right, Joe. I do understand it's 420. How you doing?
Good, good.
Good, good, good.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
It was playing like music on hold. It wasn't even ringing.
If it wasn't ringing... never mind. Why would I do this?
Yeah. Exactly right. You're just going down the wrong path.
What do you think? So if AJ wanted medical marijuana,
yeah,
can he get a, what's it called? You got to get a doctor's note. Then you get the prescription.
Right. And what I do is I run a clinic where we give out the doctor's note.
Wow. Oh, brother.
Do you write it?
No, I have a doctor there. I just run the clinic.
Okay.
I have a doctor there. I'm the manager of the clinic.
Who's Dr.
But
Weed?
It doesn't say Dr. Weed.
Dr. Weed.
Picture a little pot leaf sewn right. onto the white lab coat.
Right.
His business card is rolling papers.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can use it, man. Use it to clean your weed.
It does. You know, I get the feeling that if you're running a clinic, it's probably not that hard to get a prescription.
Right.
But
in the majority of cases, you need a doctor's diagnosis.
Right.
Even with PTSD, we prefer a, you know, like a psychiatrist or a therapist. However, there is a test that we can administer on premises, or now we're doing it through telemedicine.
Wow.
Which will determine, the doctor will look at it and will determine whether you have PTSD or not.
How many questions?
Well, it's a three-part test.
Is it multiple guess?
Yeah, first part is...
You mean multiple choice?
Guess.
I call it multiple guess.
It is.
I call it multiple guess, yeah.
That's probably more appropriate.
Thank you.
It has first part lists about 15 different types of trauma that you could have.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like a buffet. So it's like, yes, absolutely. So like physical assault, where you're beaten up.
No.
Sudden death of a loved one.
No.
Have you ever witnessed?
Your dad died. It wasn't sudden,
yeah.
Dad died.
Yeah, it sucked, yeah.
That's traumatic, AJ. That's something that could probably...
Put that in the wind column. Right.
Like, have you had an accident at work? Like, how about when that door fell?
Man, that door exploded.
When
yeah.
he kicked the door.
That door blew up by itself, man. And that's another trauma. No one believes me.
Right. Experience to a toxic substance.
What's this?
Toxic substance?
Yep. Assault with a weapon.
With these cleaning supplies we're using.
You ever sniff glue when you were a kid?
Not intentionally, no.
Have you ever been in a natural disaster?
Can you be more specific?
Fire.
No. I went to a couple bad parties.
Is an explosion a natural disaster?
No, that's a different category. First is natural disaster, then they have fire or explosion.
Right.
Life-threatening illness.
No, thank God.
Have you witnessed a severe or sudden accidental death?
No.
You already said that one.
Accidental? No.
Have you ever had a serious injury?
A serious injury? Like, nah, not really. No, I've been pretty good.
You had multiple... Hernia surgeries.
That's not a severe injury. That's just like...
Ripping apart?
Yeah, but you know what? I wouldn't classify it as like a severe injury.
You have wire mesh.
Like I got hit in the head with an axe handle.
Why
or something
are you
like that.
Classifying? Let the doctor classify.
Yes,
why is someone
exactly.
yelling at me? Is this trauma getting yelled at by three people?
You can check.
No, but act like you want this prescription.
I'm just being honest here.
Well, be
you
honest with the doctor.
You can have more than one.
What? I'm sorry.
You can have more than one of
okay,
them.
Okay. Well, I got one so far.
We had
my
seven.
My dad passing.
So you
away.
Had the death. You
my
had the
dad.
Accident at work.
Right.
Yeah. The natural disaster. So natural disaster, Superstorm Sandy. Would that count?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Right.
Part of his house is still damaged.
I mean,
it
fixed.
No, it fixed.
It's fixed now. Yeah. That's all fixed.
All right.
And this is all done confidentially. I mean, obviously, there's some other personal.
Unlike right now.
There. Confidential. We're talking on the air.
Very loosey-goosey to me.
He's not answering.
Right. Okay. We're answering for him. All right. What else is on that list?
Yeah, your buffet there.
Okay. Well, of course, you have sexual assault, combat, if you're in.
Sexual assault?
Anybody?
Nah.
Yeah, sexual assault. If you've been combat. If you've been in the military, you almost automatically get it.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't have me.
If you've been in jail?
Nope.
Kidnapped, abducted, or held hostage?
Nope, thank God.
So, I mean, those are almost all the 15.
Blood fell.
We did tie him to a chair once.
We duct taped him to a chair and rolled him into the elevator.
And you left him there. And all the big wigs for this building showed up that day.
Oh, there was all kinds of people.
Yep.
So there was a story about a kid who got duct taped to a chair, I think by a teacher. And AJ thought it was funny. And I was like, well, if you think that's funny, why don't we do it to you? He's like, all right.
Yeah.
So we took him and duct taped him to his studio chair with wheels on it and rolled him out to the elevator. As people were coming in the building, they'd press the button, the elevator doors would open, and AJ would be just sitting there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Duct taped.
Yeah, and Billy took my shoes. So I look like,
an
idiot.
I'll tell you, that would traumatize me.
Yeah.
Seeing AJ without shoes, I agree.
Shut up, Phil. How about the trauma being thrown off a roof?
Right.
Does that qualify?
How about firecrackers in your
room?
That's right. Voluntarily.
Bottle rockets.
That's got to classify you.